Today's gospel is found in chapter 16 of John's gospel, beginning with verse 12. It's on page 878. So if you'd like, there's a Bible in front of you or underneath your seat, and you can follow along with the reading today. Jesus says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me." Then some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying to us, 'A little while, and you will no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? And because I'm going to the Father," they said, "what does he mean by saying, 'A little while'? We do not know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Are you discussing among yourselves what I meant when I said, 'A little while, and you will see, no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. And when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one will take your joy from you. On that day, you will ask nothing of me. Very truly, I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and that your joy, so that your joy may be complete. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but will tell you plainly of the Father. On that day, you will ask in my name. I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world again. I'm leaving the world and I'm going to the Father." The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Again, page 878 is where the scripture is. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I was on a family trip with my parents, and we were driving in British Columbia, Canada. My dad glanced over across the highway to the edge or the bottom of a mountainside, and he saw something moving. He pulled off the road. There's a little pull-off there on this two-lane road. And sure enough, there were probably 100 bighorn sheep. They were coming down the mountain, and they were heading our way. And the field was probably 100 yards across. And my dad, being a very, you know, kind and conscientious traveler, would sit with his door, with the window open of the pickup, and he was pointing to these sheep, thinking that some other motorists would want to see this amazing sight. But the cars just zoomed by, zoom, zoom, zoom. Finally, he kept pointing. They were about 30 feet away. And then, screech on the brakes. People stopped. It caused a big, you know, scene. But these bighorn sheep were there all along, but they didn't see them. There's so many things that are happening all around us, right, that we just don't see. Do you agree with that? Lots going on. You go to a movie, and not many of us would have a clue about how long it takes to edit that film or film that film or make the set just right. It takes an incredible amount of time. We just go and enjoy the desired effect of the movie. We come to worship. We sing songs. We hear the message. We receive communion. But there's a lot of preparation that goes into worship as well. And we come and we experience it and we go on our way. But there's so much that happens that we don't see. There was a question raised in philosophy classes when I was in college, and maybe you've heard this one. If a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, did it make a sound? Now, I tried as a college sophomore to wrap my head around that and thinking about, what does that mean? A tree falling in the woods and I didn't know, you didn't hear it. Is it really about our empirical evidence? Is that what reality is? And I recall my college professor trying to explain it to us in this way. He said, so I'm vacuuming my carpet and there's a penny in there. Do I see the penny? No. But when my vacuum hits it, it draws the penny up and then I know there's a penny in the carpet. And I'm just still going, man, you must have a dirty carpet. It must be like 1975 shag or something and you can't see a penny. I just couldn't get it. My common sense mind just basically believes that I've heard a tree fall in the woods and it makes noise. So every time a tree falls in the woods, it would make noise, right? And if there's a penny in the carpet and you don't see it, there's still a penny in the carpet whether you find it or not. Well, it brings us to the, but so even if you can't see it, it's there. And that brings us today to the realm of faith, what I'm talking about. That God is always moving and active, and we don't see his activity oftentimes, but he's always working behind the scenes and right in front of us to show us his love, his blessing, his power and wonder. Can we see his activity? Well, we can if we're aware, but even if we can't see it, he's still working. Today's gospel, Jesus gives us two essential truths that I want to speak about today. Jesus tells his disciples first about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, and he speaks about the power of having a relationship with him. There's a section in today's bulletin, if you'd like, to jot down your notes or insights, and those are given so you can maybe think about what's being said and reflect on it more. So first, I want to look at the section on the Holy Spirit. And again, if you want to turn in your Bibles, it's 878, I think, John 16. We'll look at verses, I should make sure that's the right page number. John chapter 16. Yep, 878, or 879, actually. Now, the first section that we read today is on Jesus telling us about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit in other places in the gospel. I guess one special time is in chapter 3, where he's meeting Nicodemus in that nighttime session and telling him, well, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sounds, but you don't know where it's coming from. You cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone born of the Spirit, he tells Nicodemus. But it's actually in John 14 and 16 where Jesus gives the most succinct teaching about the Holy Spirit and the attributes of the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit. So look with me at John 16, and we're going to begin with verse 13 here. It says, well, first he says, I still have, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So Jesus reassures his disciples, it's a good thing that he's leaving the world. I'm sure they didn't think that. They thought, no, it's a bad thing. You're not even completed what you set out to do. Rome is still in charge. Jesus, this isn't the right timing. But he reassures them that the Holy Spirit will come when he leaves. Which makes sense because even though Jesus is God, he was confined to a human body. And so he could only be in one place at once. He couldn't be everywhere at the same time. The Holy Spirit, oftentimes we call the invisible Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, because he isn't confined to a body, can be multiple places. Now we think about, wouldn't it be great to see Jesus? I mean, I would say, yeah, I'd like to do that. If he was still around in the form that he existed in the New Testament, wouldn't that be wonderful? Especially with media and all the ways that we could broadcast his message. Wouldn't it be incredible? I mean, he could do a world tour every year and every venue would be sold out and they would show everything he taught on every channel and it would be completely awesome. He would have a billion Twitter followers, I think. And he'd probably have the most popular Instagram site in the entire world. But he'd be limited to one time and one space. But he left so that the Holy Spirit could come, and the Holy Spirit can be everywhere, including in all of our hearts and lives and our churches at the same time. So Jesus in verse 13 shares three things that the Holy Spirit will do, what his role is. First of all, it says, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will inhabit our minds and guide us in Godward directions, especially when it comes to understanding the truth of God's word. It's more than conscience, which tells us right from wrong. It's a guide. Now, how can I explain that? When we did some tours in different museums, we got to go over to Florence, Italy, and see the museum where the Statue of David is and by Michelangelo. And we had signed up for this free audio tour, and we could just listen to it on our phone and walk through this museum. And I'll tell you what, that made that tour so insightful, because there were so many things that I wouldn't have noticed if it wasn't for the fact that someone else had been there before and would guide us through it. That's the Holy Spirit. He guides us. He points out the things that we need to notice, and he guides us into a deeper understanding. So second of all, he guides us into all truth. Second of all, it says, he will not speak on his own. He will speak whatever he hears. Now, have you ever been in a wonderful mountain canyon and you go, hello, hello, hello? Echo, right? It's a good time. Especially you can say all kinds of things. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? How are you? How are you? Fine. It gets a little boring after a while, but the echo keeps telling us back what we just said. And that's what the Holy Spirit's job is to tell us over and over again and reveal to us the very words of Jesus, the teachings of Christ. So he's not going to lead anyone contrary to the Bible. That's why it's wonderful to have this word, because we know that this word is the truth by which we place our lives underneath. And so if it's in the Bible, we believe it and we follow it. And the Holy Spirit helps us to give us insight and give us understanding of the teachings of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit, he doesn't teach his own ideas. He echoes the ideas that God has been teaching throughout the history in the Bible. Third, it says, he will declare to you the things that are to come. Wow. So the Holy Spirit can give us insight into the future? It says so. And that really assures us that the Holy Spirit isn't just a sub-God or a smaller God, but the Holy Spirit is God, as is Jesus and God the Father. Because God is the only one that knows the future, clearly, and the Holy Spirit can guide us into the future. How does this happen? Well, it's maybe like a premonition, perhaps a warning of the Holy Spirit stopping us, as we learned in today's Bible study in the other room. It was Paul wanted to go north into Turkey, further Turkey, Asia Minor, but the Holy Spirit did not enable him. And he said, no, you need to go to Macedonia. So the Holy Spirit guided him and also gave him a preferred future. He declared what was to come. So that's assuring, because do we know what's going to happen tomorrow? No. But we can trust the Holy Spirit does. And then in verse 14, the fourth thing he says about the Holy Spirit today, it says, he will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, I guess the easiest way to say this is the Holy Spirit does not have an ego. In fact, the Holy Spirit's role is simply pointing to Jesus all the time. He points to the cross. He points to Jesus Christ. He doesn't have a need to be visible himself. His role, his entire role is to glorify Christ. You could even think the Holy Spirit's a little bit shy. He likes the background work like a lot of us do. He likes doing things behind the scenes. He doesn't want to be in front of everyone. He wants to be behind the scenes pointing us to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is working. Even though you can't see it, he's working. And faith is getting out of the way and letting him work. Now, that's a good thing, I think, unless you have control issues. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, if you really think you can control the outcome of something, and a lot of us think we can. Now, I'm not saying that, and this is really by your own good efforts, your good looks, your good ideas. Well, if that's the way you think you control everything, well, good luck, is what I say. Of course, we can plan and we can practice. I'm not saying you just don't do anything. You can be a good Boy Scout and prepare as best you can for the future. But ultimately, so many things are out of our control. And that can cause us incredible stress and worry when things aren't going the way we think they should go. It can get your shorts in a ball. And you can say, or it can give you great worry and stress. So that's one at why, just to worry and try to control the outcome. Or you can say, thank you, Holy Spirit, because he gives us calm in the midst of a storm, peace in the midst of chaos. So the Holy Spirit does those things. He guides you, reminds you of God's word, and knows the things that are to come and points you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit in a few weeks will be the focus of our entire service as we celebrate his coming on Pentecost, that he dwells within us. And even when you can't see it, he's working. Luther writes about the work of the Holy Spirit in this way, that he says, I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or effort even believe in Jesus Christ as Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the true faith. So the Holy Spirit is why we're here, that we believe it all, that we are followers of Christ. All is attributed to the Holy Spirit. Having the Holy Spirit's a good thing. We can't see him working. Even when we can't see it, he is working. And faith is staying out of his way and letting him work. But there's one more thing. So that's the first section on the Holy Spirit. But one more thing I want to illustrate today that he's telling us. How this whole trouble that he's describing to his disciples, which is him leaving, eventually to be crucified and die and coming back for a short time and then leaving again. How that's going to work out. It's breaking news, folks. He says in verse 23 and 24. On that day, you will ask nothing of me. Very truly, I tell you, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. So Jesus is telling us something very profound. Through him, we have exclusive access to the Father, God the Father, through Jesus. Stop for a minute and consider how profound that is. We don't have a mediator. We don't have someone who's going in between us. Through Jesus, we have complete access to God our Father. Have you ever had the experience where you ask someone to do something and they actually did it for you? That you were, you know, hoping something would happen and they heard you and they took care of it. I think there's a commercial about some service where the neighbor says, hey, do you know of a person who can do tile? And they said, oh yeah, I do. Oh, call him up and have him come next Wednesday. It's like, that just doesn't happen. And here's where my control issues come in. I've had where I wanted someone to do something many times and they didn't follow through. And so then I'm kind of being anxious and controlling and trying to secure the outcome because the ball got dropped too many times. But on the contrary, it's a difference between staying at a place with a concierge and a place where you do everything on your own. So a concierge, you can say, hey, I want to go on this tour tomorrow. What do I do? And they say, oh, I'll sign you up. I'll get you there. I'll give you everything you need to do so you can go. It's a difference between having an excellent travel agent and having yourself on Google trying to line up your trip. An excellent, you know, that works a lot of times if you just want to book a flight from one place to another. But if you have a complicated thing, like lodging and renting a car and going to different programs or museums or shows, having an excellent travel agent is fantastic. They can arrange your flight. They can arrange your train and car for you. They can arrange your lodging and your meals even, secure tickets for an event, entrance to museums. And you just have to sit back and let it happen. You can say to them, I'd like to go to this place. And then the travel agent takes it from there, gets working, all the while you're doing something else, and they set up the whole thing. Can you see what I'm saying about God the Father? We ask for what we need, and God the Father begins working for us on our behalf. It doesn't mean that we always know exactly all the steps that are going to be taken, but we can hope for this desired outcome. Think of what that means for praying for a wayward child. And many of us have had kids that have gone off on their own. I was one of those kids, gone off into the far country for a while. How can we bring them back? Well, we may have an idea, but that's a big ask, isn't it? To ask for God to work in the lives of someone that we don't have any control to fix. And we may have a plan for that, but really? Do you? God knows everything that will take to change a hardened heart, to soften that heart, and it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a conversation here with this person that you may not even know. It's going to take a prayer over here. It's going to take maybe a serendipity that recalls a memory and having someone there to talk about it to heal that memory or that hurt. It's not as simple as getting from here to there, like taking a direct flight from here to some destination with no complications, no hassle. It's a more of a direct, indirect route. And even if we don't see it, God's working. He's working on that. And faith is letting him work. So could we let him work? Would you let him work? It's pretty futile to plant a seed and then every hour dig it up to see if it's growing, right? That doesn't work very well. You're never going to let the roots develop if you don't leave it alone. And in a way, that's what Jesus is saying today. Even when you can't see it, God is working. And you, I don't know what you need today. I don't know what, you know, maybe is pressing on your heart, what prayer you need answered, what direction you need. Maybe you're waiting in a time of illness. Maybe you are, like me, waiting for the Lord to speak and give us some direction. Maybe you're waiting for some very evil schemes to be thwarted. Maybe you're waiting for an answer or for deliverance or hope or release. Jesus gives us really good news today, that there is a Holy Spirit. And even when we can't see it, he's working. God is working. Maybe you just haven't seen it yet. And faith is letting him work. I listen to Christian radio all the time when I'm in my car. And some of the songs just so much and profoundly speak to me. I want to share the lyrics of a song called Weary Traveler. And I think in many ways it is a song for all of us because we experience life. At the end of chapter 16, when Jesus is telling them these things that we just talked about, he says this, I've said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will face persecution or trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world. Weary traveler, the words go like this. Beat down from the storms that you've weathered. Feels like this road might go on forever. Carry on. You keep on giving, but every day this world just keeps on taking. Your tired heart is on the edge of breaking. Carry on. Weary traveler, restless soul, you were never meant to walk this road alone. It'll all be worth it, so just hold on. Weary traveler, you won't be weary long. No more searching. Heaven's healing is going to find you where all the hurt is. When Jesus calls, we'll lay down all your heavy burdens. Carry on. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of relationship with you, because through you, Jesus, we have access to our Heavenly Father. And it really is like being able to give our troubles and our worries and our fears directly to you and have you take it from there. Lord, we are weary at times, and maybe someone here is especially weary today, feeling restless. Lord, assure that person that they were not meant to walk this road alone. It'll all be worth it in the end, and we may not see the answers today, but Lord, you say to us, we won't be weary long. In a little while, we will see you. So Jesus, thank you for your great word today. Thank you for your reassurance that will turn our sorrow as well to joy, as you taught to your disciples in the first time you said these words. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.